that I'm equipped, I'm highly trained, and a lot of others, all the way from Ranger School, we used to teach Green Berets. We could have, I jumped out of airplanes, I could go on the, I could do all that stuff. But we listened to our elders. We could have caused all kind of havoc in this country. We listened to our elders. And when I just said that it's all based on love, it's coming from that very principle that even goes beyond, it transcends that. And that's that we really fight for a matriarchal system. And this surprises a lot of people. But I tell people that everywhere we go, that I believe that because we survived such a Holocaust of slavery, and because it was so based on the backbone of that black woman, that our nation has to be led by a woman. And that's what I fight for, because I'm a man, and I know. We ain't ready, I don't think, right now. We don't have that capacity to love, because I think we've been so, what's that word, twisted, and we wretched, man, under a white supremacist, male supremacist system for so long. We talk about the patriarchal families, and we studied the old paternal, the families of the Roman Empire. All, we studied Frederick Engels, you know, all this. We've been studying for years, and it all comes back to the same thing. The only person seemed to have the capacity to love to the extent that we can build a nation that would be what we want, what we need, a civilized, loving nation, is a woman. And I don't see a lot of men clapping. And you ain't got to clap, because I'm going to say what I feel. I always said that. And I studied this for years, and you have a right to disagree with me, but I challenge you. I challenge you to an argument on this. Face the fact that you are a large part of the reason why our movement are so retarded. Because the enemy comes and he plays on those sexual concepts. And he plays on your twisted mind. They got so many rapists in these prisons now. When I first went in, they were killing them. And they didn't have no rapists. When I first went to prison, you come into prison to rape somebody's daughter. You're going to get a knife stuck in you. Nowadays, damn near every other prisoner done raped some kid, and the society is sanctioning in it. We got to address that. Women are suffering. As long as women suffer, especially from our hands, we ain't going nowhere. We cannot get these families together. We got to bring these women back up. We got to protect them. We got to get our families back together. We got to get these families back together. And if we don't, we're not going to get nowhere, because that's the nucleus. And like I say, I'm talking about all struggles. And I want to encourage y'all I talk about Mumia. He's on death row. Everybody know about Mumia. We can't let him kill Mumia. I try to tell you about Maryland. A lot of African speakers don't mention that. And so I try to tell them, you have to mention Maryland. You have to are you not mentioning it because she's white? And then we talk about Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad. Who started that? No, not Harriet. You see what I'm saying? Fairbanks. Then we talk about Reverend Torrey in the 1800s. Then, of course, the great John Brown. So we have to not fall victim for these racist techniques and tactics. So I'm going to have to cut it down, because I'll be talking. Y'all got me going. But I really want to thank y'all for everything. And I hope that thank you. But I I'll be back.
Well, you got what you came for. We're now going to have a question and answer period. And let me set the ground rules so that we're all clear about how we're going to do this. We've got microphones set up. I think there's one right here, and there's one over there. And we know there are a lot of people who have questions, but this is Pasadena City College, and I want to take the liberty, since I have the mic, to establish the ground rules to allow, if we have some students from PCC who have some questions, we would like to have them come up to the mic first, and then we will have all others who are interested in asking questions. I will also take the liberty to ask you to keep your questions short and keep them questions. There's only one speaker here tonight. I will take the liberty, if I hear a question becoming a statement, to let you know that, because I'm sure you won't be aware of it. So I'll just be here to help you out. Okay?
Yeah? Okay. What do you think of the endorsement of the NAACP and other black organizations, of them endorsing the ways of the LAPD, and especially black leaders, how they're endorsing the way that the LAPD has been suspending the civil rights of black youths, especially in inner cities, as in Maxine Waters, for instance, or even Bradley with his inaction of doing anything about it, or even calling for the questioning even of for instance the things that happened with the Hammer. I don't know if you know about Hammer and Crash, the things that happen in inner cities that were even like almost...
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Well, I just wanted to ask, what does he think about that even this person...
I think...
Harry Edwards, who was one of the Panther leaders, is now... I mean, what do you think of this, that the black leaders are endorsing the incarceration of most of black youth?
Well, number one, Harry was never a Black Panther. He was a very intelligent brother. But I referred earlier to neocolonialism. You have situations set up for certain people to be put in place to what we call apologize. They're apologists for neocolonialism, imperialism, or whatnot. That might sound kind of technical. But what it boils down to in our reality is that we fight against them. Mayor Bradley hated me. He said I was the reason why he lost the first election, the Black Panthers and stuff. And I didn't even deal with him personally. We deal with trying to build our reality. It's like during slavery time when old Master had the house Negro. The house Negro would serve old Master. We were in the fields trying to liberate ourselves. So that's the difference. That continues today. We call them Uncle Toms. In the Spanish community, they call them Uncle Tom Toms. Whatever we call them, that reality still exists. And we fight against it. Mainly just to get them to leave us alone so we can build our own, you know, communities.
Thank you. Please.
First of all, I'd like to say welcome home.
Thank you.
And I'd like to know, out of concern for my brother Leonard Peltier, what do you feel was the most beneficial support you received while you were incarcerated for the 27 years?
Well, the most beneficial support was the support, of course, of the people, like you out here. There are many ways that the liberation of Guatilas, who we call Leonard, can be approached. And I think he has some of the great minds that's with him. And I'm pretty sure eventually we're going to get him out by one way or another, you know. So Leonard is a great man. He's also one of our spiritual leaders, you know. Thank you.
This mic.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a real American hero. Geronimo G. Jaga is.
Thank you.
Over the years, down here, rock and roll stations, radio stations, sports stations, KLOS, KROQ, never said anything about incarceration of yourself. Political prisoners on Pacifica, 90.7 KPFK, and other related stations.
Is this a
question? Getting to a question, no doubt.
Please, quickly. Thank you.
Do you support, and you urge us to support, Micro Radio and the Pacifica Network down here, 90.7 KPFK?
Yes, I do. Without question, I support all Liberation Radio. But I also criticize when the public radio system didn't broadcast Mumia's messages that they buckled down to the police association. And that's a big criticism to the public radio systems.
Over here, thank you.
Hey, Gerardo, welcome to the PCC.
Santé.
I followed your case since 1970, and I knew you were innocent from the beginning.
Thank you, sir.
The reason why I'm here, my son was killed in Corcoran Prison in 1994. Mm. He was set up by the guards. He wasn't the aggressor.
Right.
And the guy who shot him was black.
Thank you.
So, you know, I know how things are going up there.
You have my heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you and your family, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Young lady.
Hello, when you said that you traveled the country and were training, now were you recruited by the Black Panthers to train, or do you just happen upon them?
Yeah, I happened upon them. See, the Black Panther Party was not that important in the 60s. Uh-huh. Nowadays, you hear a lot of people, Panthers just flood out everything else. But when you start studying history, you see that the Black Panther Party was nothing but a conglomeration of forces that decided to meet at the forefront of the movement. That's why it was called the Vanguard. Mm-hmm. But it was comprised of various and sundry forces, mainly from SNCC, by the way. And the Black Panther Party, because the enemy write so much of our history, mm-hmm. were given too much credibility for things. And they, if they were telling you the truth, would be the first to tell you that it, a lot of times they were SNCC, they were Che Lumumba Club, you know, the Mau Mau, or the Republic of New Africa, or of course the Nation of Islam, back then was a basis for so much. Elijah Muhammad was so very important, of course Malcolm X too, for our movement as it developed. The Black Panther Party was nothing but another African blood brotherhood from the 1920s, and it comes about so often. So, yeah, I was just training different groups in their military preparedness, and the Panthers were just one of them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Greetings, my brother.
Greetings, my sister.
I'd like to thank you for your endurance, first of all. I have two questions. What is the status of your legal case? And what can we do as students to support your efforts?
Well, the status of my case is that Gil Garcetti, to try to save face in the face of all the evidence that blew him out the water, try to save face with his, I guess, Republican or right-wing voters, has decided to appeal it. Now, I guess there's no one in the country hoping that he get it more than me, because I would like nothing better than to have a fair trial on this issue so we can then finally expose the truth about what happened, and especially the truth about who killed Mrs. Olson. Because you will find once that is exposed, it goes right back to them. You see what I'm saying? So I doubt very seriously if he pursues it. I dare him to pursue it. You see what I'm saying? And any one of them, you know, after you do 27 years in prison, they know. I don't care about none of that. All I care about is the truth and getting the truth out. They don't want the truth to come out. And so far as what you can do to help me is that you can help liberate Leonard Peltier, all of the brothers and sisters who are in prison, who just like me did nothing, are not criminals, are there because of political reasons. And that's how you can help me, my sister. And also get that pamphlet site out to the community. Okay?
Please.
I was wondering, you had said that you're for the abolition of prisons.
Yes.
What would you do with the serial killers, rapists, and drug dealers if the prisons were gone?
Well, I think in a society that we envision, there won't be a basis for them. Now, of course, we're going to have aberrations. All societies do. But I think a humane, loving approach will resolve that, because I know prisons don't. I know for a fact. You put somebody in there for something, and you do that, what I saw them do, they come out 10 times worse. And innocent people suffer because they can't get behind them security gates and all these little estates and what they call them, where all of the rich people stay. You can't get nowhere near that. And so innocent people walking down the street end up suffering because of these twisted mentalities. Prisons produces all kind of wretches, all kind of weird personalities.
So you wouldn't, like down in Singapore, the drug dealers, it's like they're sentenced to death. You're not for that then?
Well, no, I don't support their penalties. I do support, if you're going to kill my child, then I have a right to kill you first. So then in the 60s, we would go to them and we would talk to them. Successful drug users are very intelligent. Because for them to be successful, they don't use their own product. See, successful drug users don't use. So usually when we meet with them, it was very intelligent conversation. And they understood what we were saying. And so at a certain point, most of them pulled out and stopped on their own to transform whatever they were doing. The ones that didn't, we moved on them with violence. Violence. That's how we dealt with it.
Sir?
First of all, sir, I just want to say thanks for coming. I was born and raised in Morgan City, Louisiana.
Oh, homeboy.
And I just want to know, my name is Theron Brooks. I'm Pud's son.
Oh, no.
And I just want to know.
I got to give you a hug. I grew up with Pud. He was drowned while I was in Vietnam.
I just want to know what can we do to keep the drugs out of our community and keep all the death out of our community? How can we get it through to our people? What can we do?
Once we get control, it stops. We had control in the 60s. That's why they attacked us so much. Right there in Nicholson Garden, right there, Denver Lane, all throughout the country, we had control. You had a problem in the community, they didn't call no police, they called us. We went over, man, what the hell going on? Nobody went to prison. Those things began to subside. And they began to see that we were able to care for our own. We went over there with love when they would call us. Not with hate, trying to kill nobody, put them in jail. We went with love and care. So this is the kind of things that happen when you get control of your own community, your own destiny. And I think that's the only answer. Because if we continue to leave it in the hands of who they're in now, we're going to continue to suffer. We can't trust them.
Sir?
This is not at all an original question, but of all the people I've come in contact with in college, you seem best suited to answer. Based on all that you have seen, tasted, and experienced, what would you say is the meaning and purpose of human existence?
I think that's a... Well, the meaning and purpose of human existence is to... Oh, you want to deal with it? Go ahead. I would love to deal with that one. That's a beautiful
question. To exist. Next.
Cargo, ego, song. You know, I think that's who I am.
First of all, I would like to welcome you, my brother, home.
Santé.
And secondly, I would like to know, what do you think about... I'm kind of sick and tired of the gang violence and the drug dealing on in our inner city in the ghettos. And as a young man myself, I was raised and born in Watts. I was there during the Watts riots. Mm-hmm. I remember crawling the streets, and I remember the Black Panther Party very well. And what they stood for was a lot of positive things that haven't really got out to, obviously, a lot of the gang members today.
That's right.
And they a lot of them try to model themselves, quote, after the Black Panthers. But we haven't got the message out to our young brothers that the Black Panthers stood for good.
Right.
And not the evil that's going on today, killing each other. And what do you think we should do, and how should we put this into our communities to even get someone to talk to them? And do you plan on going into the communities? Because I just found out about this yesterday, and I live in the hood. And it's a lot of brothers I could have brought with me right here today. I think just by listening to you, you could have saved a couple of them from even gang banging or going out tonight, just by listening and understanding.
I'll be back. You know, I'm trying to be as much in many places as I can. But to answer your question, it goes back to the same question. We have to liberate ourselves so we can control ourselves, so we can solve it. I was telling a brother who came into prison, man, it's all about the money. I said, if it's all about the money, if I give you $2,000, would you go snitch on John? No, bro, I ain't no snitch. They're not for real with that money. Their hearts ain't in that. They're being told to say that. Another one come in and say, I got to sell my drugs. I said, bro, you want to sell drugs? We liberate our nation. We'll put you in charge of the pharmaceutical companies. You can make drugs. See what I'm saying? They see that. And they think on that national scale. And they realize, oh, if I'm doing that, then that means I got to make medicine for people, old people, people who in hospitals who need help. And then their mind transforms from that gangster mentality to a more productive mentality. You give them something. You give them a purpose. The world we are now, we can't give them that because we are still in bondage to this slaveocracy. Until we break from it, then I think we're still going to be spinning our wheels and they're going to continue to die. So we have to emphasize that plebiscite at every center you got. And let's get that vote on.
I just came back from San Francisco, and I let some people up there know about what was going on down there. I believe they're in the house or they left, but
excuse me,
I'm
brother.
Looking forward to good things from my brother.
And Sante, my brother.
More power to you, people.
Power to you, too.
Please.
Oh, Geronimo.
Hey, African, what's happening?
It's an honor to be here.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you about the concept of the New World Order and what you think about that.
I should call Bill Prepare, you know. But, I'm the first one to tell you when I'm not versed. I studied history for years, anthropology and different things. But things like this, I'm not that well versed on. I know generally about the New World Order. Trilateral commission, but not enough. I think the professor would be answer that question better.
Take my class. Okay. Next, please.
Hi, welcome. What I'm trying to, what movement I'm working on is to try to do something with the Board of Corrections. Because it's supposed to be made up of people in our community, and it's not like that.
Right.
And out of 100 blacks that go up for parole, only 10% of them are released.
I know.
And if there are other race other than Hispanic, they are most likely released.
Right.
So that's the movement I'm working for, and I was wondering what's your stand on that, and do you know any way that we can speed it up? And
so far as that goes, you know, I refuse to go to the parole board. But I know in that situation, brothers and sisters depend so much on that. Wilson run on the ticket that he was not going to let criminals out so he could elect himself, and that just people go for 8, 9, 10 years without getting one write-up, go to college, get degrees and stuff, and they still don't let them out of prison because of political reasons. That has to be exposed. See, we call that reform. There's a difference between reform and revolution. Certain things in the process of this transformation has to be reformed, and that's one of the things that should be reformed with radical solutions. So I would encourage you to talk to people in the community, get more people involved to go and take over those committees like they are doing in Texas right now, like they're doing in Carolina, like they're doing all throughout the South, some parts of New York. And they're correcting it in those reformist ways, which is not basically my solution, but that's an answer to what's happening right now, that we can get a lot of people out if we participate more in those kind of things, you know.
Thank you.
We have about 5 more minutes of questioning. So if you keep your questions short and to the point, maybe we can get in most of you, if not all of you. Please.
Yeah, I'm a UCLA student. I'd like to invite you to speak there. I know where you're coming from. We're talking about the Church Commission. I'd like everybody to learn about their history and Walker and Nkrumah and Du Bois. And I'd like to ask you a couple questions. Just 3 quick questions.
Please.
Bobby Seale is supposed to be coming out with a real portrayal, real movie of the Black Panthers. Are you going to try to have a hand in that, or you think the establishment is going to try to keep that movie from being made?
Well, I'll try to be brief. We were talking about that the other day. We laugh about it. People want to reduce everything to a movie nowadays. Oh, you going to make a movie? That's, like I said, we weren't about that. No, I won't have a hand in it. Bobby is a friend of mine, and Bobby would be the first to say, I was never a Black Panther. So they've been doing something on the Panther. I always tell them, go do it on the guys who said they were Panthers. I was never a Black Panther. And I tell people that everywhere I go. That goes to show you how much the media confuses people. I was just organizing, teaching people how to defend themselves. And they got me when I was doing it with the Panthers. I was never a Black Panther. And neither was so many others who, we didn't care so much about organizations or names. We just wanted to win. We wanted to do what we had to do. And all this stuff about the name and all that, we didn't. Nowadays you hear more of it because of history where it's written. But if they're going to make a movie on the Panthers, they got a lot of guys who say they were Panthers, they could do that on. But we're not about making movies, if anything, a documentary maybe. But that's the most. But something for Hollywood and stuff, that's not us. You know?
Thank you. This.
Wanted to welcome you, Elder.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, knowing that we live in a judgmental, injustice society, how do you feel about having drug tests in high schools? It's a new law that's passing by now.
In high schools, drugs. Well, I'm a father of children who go to high school. I guess I should have an answer for that one. I don't know. I don't like authority, number one. And I know you need it. But you caught me by surprise on that question. Shaki, you want to deal with that question? My wife might. How do you feel about drug tests in high school? We have children in high school. She says no. My wife said no, it shouldn't. And she knows. That's the best answer I could give you right now. I'm not familiar with that too much.
Please.
The current situation is worse than the 60s. That's after you come in, the society get worse. Now, my question would be, why don't we start another revolution? And in form of violence, if I be specific.
Why don't we start one? I'm trying my damnedest, man. But no, I think the people, it's the people that start revolutions, and I think it's
some initiative.
Huh?
There got to be someone to initiate.
Well, we learned from experience that we may make mistakes, that we have made mistakes by following the old traditional organizational structures of leader-follower complexes. Those vertical structures where you have the head and then the body, you chop the head off the body, you know. So now we deal with a more horizontal reality. And whereas you don't have no one head. And this is kind of complex. We can go into it further. We have more time.
Please. Brother Geronimo, I have a simple question. The revolution, you know, I agree with, but I just want to start off with the knowledge. Like, do you have any ideas on some literature that I could write down real quick?
Yes. I mean, we had a mandatory reading list of 20 books in the 60s. Not coming out and say, what happened at all? Well, I know it should be more now, but we always encourage everyone to read those mandatory books. They varied from liberation struggle to liberation struggles. For instance, the natives, they would have a basic rudimental reading list. The Chicanos would have their basic rule, and the Africans would have theirs. So ours, you know, and they're all ours because we should all read each other's books, is there. And we had to all read Richard Wright, Ralph Ellison. We had to read Nkrumah. We had to read all of Marx, all of Lenin. We had to read, of course, Che. We had to read Regis Debray. We had to read the Walter Flea. We had to read Sun Tzu. James Baldwin. There were 20 basic books that we had to read. Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I remember that was a very important one we had to read. And the one that they call the Bible of the Black Liberation Movement, The Wretched of the Earth, and also everything else that Frantz Fanon wrote. See, because when we fed the children in the morning, we studied in the daytime, and we patrolled the police at night. See, like the brother said earlier, a lot of people just heard about the patrol and the police, but we did much more than that, and that's something that should be brought up, and that's a good question. We have to read those books. And right now, we also talk and encourage brothers and sisters to read everything that Van Sertima and what we call that new African intelligentsia is putting out based on the teaching of Chikanta Diya, who we consider the last pharaoh. Chikanta Diya, the last pharaoh. Well, we call him the last pharaoh. He recently died. You have Runoko Rashidi around here. You have Marlon Arankaranga. You have LeGreg, what his name, over in the Compton Clegg. Brilliant brothers and sisters, man. We have an intelligentsia now that encompasses everything that we need to learn. Some people call it Afrocentric education, and that's very important. And I encourage you to read the professor. He's a great man, knowledge.
Well, he's in the BSA, so I'll make sure you get the list, Randall.
Thank you.
Right on. That's a good question.
Sir? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Gotta be ready.
What I want to know is, how do you feel about Bernard Parks being the chief of LAPD? Do you think our local activists don't run a risk of getting framed the way you were?
Oh, of course. I don't, like I said, it doesn't matter who runs the plantation. It's going to be run the same. These people are part of a system that has proven time and time again not to work. It's corrupt from within. It's rent with institutionalized, all forms of institutionalized things, such as racism, classism, sexism, all these things. They don't work. And we struggle against that to create our own reality, to have our own structures in place that we know that's going to work. So that's how I feel about that. We wouldn't spend too much time and energy worrying about what they're doing, because we had a lot to do and to building up our reality. It's only when they come interfere with us, hey man, get out of our business. We're not bothering you, leave us alone. you know, that kind of thing. You know, so if they're doing their thing, let them do it, but please don't interfere with ours, you know. That's their thing. That's not ours. That's the way we look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Brother Geronimo, on behalf of my family and my friends that wrote letters and prayed on behalf of your release,
thank you.
I would just like to say that they love you and I love you.
And I love you for that.
So I just thank God that you're here and giving me the opportunity to listen to you. Well, I would just like to ask, where will you be speaking next locally? And when?
Ashaki. My wife is there.
Thank you.
Where? Oh, okay. USC, November 10th. Now, let me tell you something about UCLA. I went to UCLA for a minute back in 68. I was treated like a dog. My shiniest friends, Bunchy Carter, was assassinated there. And UCLA, I'm not into my, I'm anti-capitalist, but I'm out here now, and people want me here and there, where it needs money. This is a capitalist system. UCLA didn't even want to pay for me. So I got doubly mad because, number one, I didn't want to go back there because that's a traumatic experience. So I told them, well, now if they want me there, they got to pay me 10 times what I asked for. And they turn around and they give one of these dogs all of their money and their honorariums to come. Their little nepotism and stuff like that. You see? So UCLA is in damn trouble.
Please.
Hotep, my brother.
Hotep.
My question is, a lot of the youth today, we don't respect our elders like you did in your past. What's the answer and what is a way that the youth of today can respect our elders and listen to them and listen to what they have to say?
Well, we have to first teach our youngsters to respect themselves. And that's what we sit down and tell them. And once they start learning this much, the average Crip and Blood throughout all them years in prison, when they first come in, I remember, because I went to prison, there was no Crips and Blood. And they come in, this much knowledge about themselves caused this much respect in those little brothers. And I'm saying, well, damn, how come nobody ever told them that Hannibal was a great black general? How come nobody ever told them that? But once they get this much respect for themselves, they be bowing. They pass me on the yard and they be bowing. I said, bro, you ain't got to bow to me. You know, bro, I just feel like bowing to you because you took time and opened a book and helped me read it when I couldn't barely learn how to read and write. You took time with me. Nobody else did that. So I'm going to bow to you when I want. I said, well, bow all you want, bro. You know, but I'm not asking for no bowing. I'm just asking for more participation from my generation to take time with these youngsters and quit making them feel like they're the reason, they're the blame for this, when you know this shit is coming out of Langley, Virginia, out of the CIA quarters, FBI quarters by design. And until we understand that, I think we're going to continue to make mistakes with bringing about that respect that's needed for them to respect others, you know. And that includes other races. That's a problem.
These are the last two questions, okay? Pardon? This is cut off? All right, we have one question left. Right here, sir.
Hotep. In the recent loss of someone who I looked to and thought was a very radical young brother, and some knowledge that I found out about him, Tupac, how much do you feel that his loss hurts the nation?
Well, I can speak, first of all, from a family sentiment that Tupac was a part of our family, and he still is. He was very much my son. Ashaki raised him along with Afeni. And the whole society raised Tupac in that sense. But they took pains with him as a child, and I loved him and still do. I think that there was a scheme out to assassinate Tupac. I really believe that. I believe that certain members of society had become so fearful of the power that Tupac had amassed that they set afoot a conspiracy to cause him to be killed. Now, I can't speak specifically about his death, but I can speak generally, as the professor referred to Malik al-Shabazz, when we hear, well, oh, the Muslim killed him and Elijah killed him. Well, now we know the FBI manipulated that. Now, though the FBI agents might not have been there pulling that trigger, but it's that old thing again, paradigm of the killer dogs. You don't hate the killer dogs. You don't hate nobody, really, but you understand who sent them, and then you will correctly resolve the problem, I think, instead of focusing on this myopic situation where it continues these vendettas, that continues the bloodshed. Once you stop and say, hey, wait a minute, we'll still be fighting Karanga and them over there with us organization if we didn't stop and realize that the FBI manipulated that whole situation. Was initially a non-antagonistic situation, and they are very good at doing that. And sure, I think Tupac is a victim, just as so many other freedom fighters, in his own way, of that kind of violence. I don't, you know.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we ought to give Brother Geronimo DeJaga Pratt a rounding hand of applause.
And I want to applaud you for all the support, and I want to thank you and encourage you to continue, like you supported me, to continue to support not only the brothers and sisters that's well known, because they love you and they love your support, but also the brothers and sisters who are not well known, like that sister and that brother who lost his son. Nobody knew them. To come together and support that whole effort, and let's resolve this problem that we have. It still be a, should be a state of emergency. If they can, with the alarming rate of incarceration in our communities. So I want to say thank you, Amanda Lai. Drive carefully, and I love you all.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.